Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic who joins us weekly. The film is Fahrenheit 11-9. Hello, David.
Hi, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I am well. I am so old, I remember Roger and Me.
Oh, I remember Roger and Me very, very well. Yeah. In fact, I've known Michael since way back then, Michael Moore, although I've been totally out of touch with him since leaving my New York life several years ago. But Roger and Me was, of course, the movie that really put him on the map as a very major filmmaker. It was his first movie, and we showed it in the New York Film Festival when I was on the selection committee there at Lincoln Center, and that's when I first got to know Michael. And in fact, we selected the film before it was quite finished because it was obvious that it was just such a remarkable film in so many ways, about his home city of Flint, Michigan, about American business as represented by General Motors, and just about the state of America in general in the late 1980s. That movie came out in 1989. And since then, he's made a few very minor films, but a few movies that made a pretty large impact. Bowling for Columbine, which was about gun culture in America. That was 2002. And Fahrenheit 9/11, which was in 2004, and which pulled off the astonishing feat of a documentary, winning the top prize, the Golden Palm, at the Cannes Film Festival, and then Sicko, about the American healthcare system, or lack thereof, that was a little over 10 years ago, and Capitalism, a Love Story. So always making these movies from a very strong and outspoken left-wing position, and most of them, the ones I just named, certainly are very, very powerful and effective films in all kinds of ways. And they have, I think, very important things to say. Michael Moore has always had a tendency to, shall we say, overemphasize himself, to take too much screen time himself. It worked very well in Roger and Me, but not so well since then, I think, and at least in some of the films, there are real miscalculations, and he has been kind of overexposed at times. But what I've said about Michael Moore for a very long time now is that he's a blowhard and a showboat and a show-off, and he's also a living national treasure. The movies he makes say very important things, whether you agree with them or not, they're very worthwhile engaging with. So now his new movie, Fahrenheit 11-9, is of course a variation on the title of Fahrenheit 9-11. And Fahrenheit 9-11 was about the state of America after the attacks of September 11th. And it dealt very much with American politics and with American belligerence and with all kinds of American problems, as well as, you know, it's particularly America's problems in the world, as well as dealing with, you know, the fact that America faced real challenges that it had to deal with, sometimes in aggressive ways. Fahrenheit 9/11 is, you know, I would say after Roger and Me, probably Michael Moore's best movie in terms of making a very powerful argument. And Fahrenheit 9/11, which again dates from 2004, had just some astonishing footage in it. I think most amazingly, the footage of George W. Bush sitting in a classroom with a bunch of kids to whom he was reading a children's story when word came to him, whispered in his ear, that the attacks on the World Trade Center had commenced. And he sat there. He just sat there with a dazed expression on his face, apparently thinking, my gosh, are we under attack? Is this the end of the world? And hoping, apparently, that someone somewhere was taking care of things, because he just sat there and gazed into space in that classroom. It's remarkable footage and just an astonishing coup for Michael Moore to get a hold of that. So anyway, that is probably his best known movie of the many he's made. And now he has made a movie with a variation on that title, Fahrenheit 11-9. And the 11-9, the November November 9, referred to in the title of his new movie, is the date a couple of years ago when the election was called for Donald J. Trump by the Associated Press. That was when everybody realized, good Lord, nobody thought this could ever happen in a zillion years, but Donald Trump, the real estate guy, talk about blowhards and showboats, he is actually going to be president of the United States. And so it is that date that Michael Moore is referring in the title of Fahrenheit 11/9. I think it's just fascinating that he and Trump are both sort of overweight show-offs, but with very different ideological agendas, that's for sure. So, to me, Fahrenheit 11/9 is it's an uneven movie. It has some very effective moments. It has some moments that are not effective at all. Overall, it's very much worth seeing, but in a way, it's sort of a Michael Moore movie by the numbers. He does all the things that he sort of feels, I think, that he is supposed to do to please his many followers and to stir up people who might not agree with him. He just sort of goes through the motions, and he goes through them with a fair amount of passion, but I wish the movie were more consistent and more original in a lot of ways than it is. The movie sort of begins with a solid but very familiar case about how astonishingly narrow Trump's win was in the election. As I suppose everybody knows, he lost the popular vote. He apparently doesn't think he lost the popular vote, but he did by going on 3 million votes, apparently. He won the Electoral College through a series of sort of electoral coincidences. And the movie starts with a run-through of that, and I suppose it's very useful to be reminded of that, and I suppose there are some people who may not be familiar with that. But this is one of the areas where the movie really does tread fairly familiar ground. When it gets into the real political stuff, it doesn't always make much in the way of original points. There's a great deal of anti-gun stuff. Again, he made a whole movie about American gun culture back in 2002 when he made Bowling for Columbine. And here there's a fair amount of footage dealing with the survivors of the Parkland, Florida school massacre. And it's fascinating that Michael Moore has always let it be known and is proud of the fact that he's a lifetime member of the National Rifle Association. He's not anti-gun in any sort of blunt, ideological way. He's just sort of against all of the handguns and that sort of thing that are flooding around America. So he gives that a fair amount of screen time in Fahrenheit 11/9, and we are, reminded of his stand about various problems with the huge number of guns in America. He deals for a little while with that false alarm missile alert that took place in Hawaii not that long ago. There's no real point made about this. It was a terrible accident that happened through the our modern communication system. It's not really clear that Michael has any strong points to make about this. But in other areas, he gets very interestingly aggressive and has some real points to make. Again, not necessarily very original ones, but he certainly makes them. For example, there is a merciless run-through of famous male sexual predators, people like Bill O'Reilly and Chuck Rose and Matt Lauer and so forth, where pictures come up on the screen and there are astonishingly blunt statements of the sexual predation that these celebrities like this and these particular celebrities have perpetrated. And that's very, very strong stuff. And it reminds one that Michael Moore can be a very sort of take-no-prisoners commentator when he wants to be. And there is some stuff which I have mixed feelings about. There's some very aggressive, we might call it, reportage about Trump and the sort of slimy implications and insinuations that he's made regarding his own daughter. There are photos of him sort of touching her in sort of funny ways. Nothing, obscene, but, there's sort of a pattern of this. And, his famous remarks like, that his daughter, was really sexy. And if she weren't his daughter, he'd be dating her. And things like this that he said to people like Howard Stern. There's a little bit of the film that deals with that and where Michael Moore gets, I think, very aggressive and pretty daring. And again, I'm not sure that he makes any sort of a dispositive point here. He's not suggesting there's any sort of real incestuous situation going on, but I do think he sort of reinforces the point that a lot of people will agree with, that Trump is just a really slimy guy in all kinds of ways, and Michael Moore clearly believes that. And this is one way he has of signaling that in, you know, pretty powerful ways. Interestingly, the movie's most sort of thorough coverage of something that's been happening since Trump became president, you know, in all this, you know, and it happened actually before Trump became president, a lot of stuff about Flint, Michigan. Again, Michael Moore's own hometown. A place he still feels very loyal to. It was the major subject in Roger and Me, which dealt with, as General Motors ran into problems, the city of Flint suffered horrifically in economic ways and all the ways that flow out of economic difficulties. So here he returns to Flint, Michigan, with, of course, a whole lot of material about the poisoned water there and about how the water supply was changed for the city of Flint, and there turned out now to be lead in the water, and children and others were being horribly poisoned by this lead in the water. And we still have, I think, to realize the horrific implications that are going to flow from that. So this is a horrible, horrible problem of the past few years, and Michael Moore gives us sort of a little primer in it. And it's very powerful stuff. And he comes up with some pretty powerful statements. At one point, for example, and I'm going to quote the movie, he says, "No terrorist organization has figured out how to poison an entire American city. It took the Michigan Republican Party to pull that off." And sure enough, he puts the blame directly on the Republican governor of Michigan, Rick Snyder, and on the Republican Party, and on all kinds of political functionaries in Michigan who allowed this to happen. So this is very, very powerful stuff. Michael Moore attacks it in a very partisan way, and I think he makes a very strong and convincing case. You don't have to be against Republicans to be against the kind of politicians of any sort that would allow things like this to happen and even cause things like this to happen. And he makes a pretty strong case. I think, in fact, a very strong case that money is behind it all. That said, Michael Moore here engages also in some of the stunts for which he is famous and which he often puts into his movies and which I sort of wish he didn't. For example, he barges into a public building to make a citizen's arrest of the governor of Michigan, Rick Snyder. Well, ha, ha, ha. Of course, he doesn't get very far with his citizen's arrest, and his very not being allowed to do anything or to get very far into the building is, of course, the point of that scene. He also does something that's even more pointless, which is getting a big tank truck labeled Flint Water and spraying this water all over the governor's lawn. I mean, it's a silly thing to do, and it's kind of pointless, and it's not funny, and it's not effective satire or anything like that. On the other hand, there's some very interesting footage of a stunt pulled off by none other than President Barack Obama, who, during a visit to Michigan and talking about the crisis with the water and stuff, was making the case that the water was really okay and that there was, you know, the problem had been taken care of. And when he is given a glass, when, in fact, when he asks for a glass of water, as Michael Moore's close-up footage shows, Obama pretends to drink it, but doesn't actually drink it. And Michael Moore puts two different occasions of this into the movie. So here's a stunt by the great Democratic president, Barack Obama, stunt by him, which is yet another example of political chicanery, this time on the other side of the ideological spectrum. So it's interesting stuff. So again, a whole lot of Fahrenheit 11/9 deals with the water poisoning in Flint, Michigan, and we can't blame Michael Moore for doing this. And in a way, it's an excellent thing for him to do. I kind of wonder if maybe he shouldn't have centered the whole movie on this and then allowed other things to flow around that, rather than making that a big part of a movie which is also about too many other things as well. The movie is uneven. It doesn't deal in effective ways with a whole lot of the current stuff that really matters, the whole question of collusion with the Russians and the election of Trump, the whole thing about the Robert Mueller and the special prosecutor and the investigations that are going on there, all the different ways in which Trump has monetized the presidency. There's not much in the movie about this stuff. There's too much, I think, of celebrating a few young female politicians. Moore sees the hope for America coming out of the grassroots in the next election, and you know, which is coming up soon, and I'm sure this movie is very much timed to deal with the month of November in 2018, because he clearly wants to sway the election that's coming up. And I think he spends too much time celebrating a few of these young women who are running for office. I'm all for them. I hope they all get elected, but I think that Michael does not make a very strong case for them. It is kind of trite and unconvincing to, as Michael Moore does near the end of the movie, compare Trump with Hitler. I think, you know, this is a bit much, and it's going to turn off a lot of people who might otherwise maybe start to be persuaded by things in this movie. Ultimately, I think the biggest problem with Fahrenheit 11/9 is that it is not going to change anybody's mind about anything. It is a movie that is preaching to the to the choir. If you're a left liberal, you will totally agree with this movie, as you probably already agree with Michael Moore about most things. If you are a right conservative, you will not agree with Michael Moore, and this movie will probably not change your mind. It may just make you mad. So I wish the movie were more persuasive. I wish that it spread a wider net, that it would bring more people in to share its point of view. Again, I really think it's a movie that's talking to progressives like me rather than other people in America, but I'm still glad that Michael is out there. He's on the job. He's making very political movies. He's making some pretty strong cases for some things that need strong cases to be made about nowadays. And overall, I hope that everybody goes to see Fahrenheit 11/9. I just wish it were a more consistently persuasive movie. And that is my highly politicized story this week, Bill.
And thank you very much for your highly politicized story, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The film Fahrenheit 11/9.